The USNUA is the national parent organization for dozens of local tech meetups all over the United States, many of which I've had the personal privilege of attending, and one of which I lead with my friend Zig Ziga here in upstate New York in the Saratoga Springs area. Now, these tech meetups, these local networking user groups, these NUGs, really are fantastic. And I've made so many friends, made new contacts in our industry, and learned so much that there really wasn't much else I could do but get some of the founders of the USNUA on today's episode. So with us is Jason Gintert and Chris Kane to tell us what the USNUA is all about, how it got started, and where things are going this year. A ton of fun as always, so thanks so much for tuning in today. My name is Philip Gervasi, and this is Telemetry Now. So Jason and Chris, welcome to the podcast. It is great to have you guys on. I have worked with you guys time and time again on various events. Obviously, the Upstate New York NUG that I lead up in my area in the Capital Region, specifically Saratoga Springs. But having been to so many events, I have worked with you guys so often. I feel like this is just like a powwow among friends. But for the audience listening now, I think it would be great to give you guys an opportunity to introduce yourselves. So why don't we do that? Jason, let's start with you, if you don't mind.
Sure. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, and I feel like you're a member of the USNUA family. You know, we have worked a lot together in these events. So
that warms my heart, Jason. Thank you.
Really good to have you as a part of the community. So I'm Jason Gintert. I am one of the co-founders and community organizers with the USNUA. So assist with enablement for new chapters and just driving the USNUA mission, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot about on today's show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks. And Chris, what about you?
Yeah, similar to Jason, one of the original members of the USNUAs. It started out as the Ohio Networking User Group. And, you know, day job is I'm a network engineer for, gosh, hate to admit, 30 years now. I think we're ballpark at 30 years. We are all getting very old. I help with inaugural events. Our event coordinators handle most of the planning these days. So Jason and I just get to show up and talk and mingle and shake hands and just try to help contribute to the events and then the ongoing conversations between the events.
Are you guys both based in Ohio?
We are.
We are. We are. I mean, Jason's way up yonder. He's up north in northeast Ohio. I'm in more the center of Ohio, I guess. I'm just east of Columbus.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then you both lead different events then, right, in Ohio?
Yeah, oftentimes. We're running different directions for whether the events are in Ohio or really anywhere in the continental U.S.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I've seen you both at events all over the country, coast to coast, almost coast to coast at this point. I think we need to level set. Sorry for using the management term, level set. I hate those things, but it does work. I want to ask, I already know the answer to this, but for our audience's sake, what is the USNUA? First of all, what does that mean? But what is the USNUA? What is this organization all about? What's your goal? How did you start? So let's start with that, and I'll leave it between the two of you guys to explain to me.
Sure. Well, I'm happy to get started. So USNUA is the U.S. Networking User Association, and it is an umbrella organization that has a bunch of sub-chapters inside that we call networking user groups. We started off making these state-based. So actually the first one was the Ohio Networking User Group because Chris and I are both in Ohio, it being the founding chapter and the way we got started. And really the genesis came from us looking around at the technical community and seeing that, you know, VMware users had vMugs, Linux users had, LUGs, Linux user groups. Mm-hmm. There was network operator groups like NANOG, ShineOG, BossNog. There's all these different groups for, you know, folks who are like-minded and in similar industries to get together. But we wondered, you know, where was the place for enterprise network engineers to really sit and talk shop, and service provider engineers too, just engineers in region to maybe share a beer, share war stories, and talk about the new cool things that they're working with. So that's really, you know, how it came to be. So started in Ohio, and then when COVID happened, we kind of had to shut things down, peel things back a bit. And during that time, we said, hey, maybe we could take this, replicate it elsewhere, like really take what we built in Ohio and then make it, you know, kind of make a template for it where it's repeatable and easy to deploy in other regions. So
interesting. Yeah. So it was during COVID when we were not doing any kind of events, meetups or large events or anything really. That's when the sort of genesis happened, where you decided to take the what was happening locally in Ohio on a broader scale.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and we had states adjacent to Ohio, folks that ended up coming down from Michigan or over from Indiana to Ohio-based events, and they kept asking, how do we do this where we are? And then during that time we put together that plan and started to build out infrastructure to manage that. And you know, at this point we're up to 32 chapters and growing. In fact, I encourage people to check out the site usnua.com to see if there's a group near them that they can be a part of. But we keep adding more and more all the time.
Okay. So each individual NUG or networking user group is a chapter of the parent organization, the USNUA. But I got to ask you, and you guys can both answer, which is the best NUG of the 32 chapters? This is a trick question. So,
Chris, do you have any thoughts there?
Well, I guess, you know, to be an engineer is to ask for clarification. Best based off of what rating?
Based on all ratings, it's the Upstate New York NUG in Saratoga Springs. Chris, yeah. That was a gimme.
Suspect the Lewis. Yeah,
I felt a trap there.
Yeah, that was entrapment. Now, Chris, you were one of the founding members. Can you tell us a little bit about how the USNUA began? I mean, we already heard a little bit about during COVID, how there was a genesis of expanding outside of Ohio to a national scale, but why do anything with meetups? What was your involvement with that from the very beginning?
Yeah, as Jason mentioned, kind of looking around and seeing that there were other events that people could join, that had a common technology feel to it, or maybe a common end user grouping to it. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, because our first event was around, I think it was February of 2017. So if you think back to that time frame, you know, for the enterprise network engineers, we were hearing a lot about SDN. We were hearing a lot about programmability. You know, we thought there would just be these incredibly smart controllers that do all the work, and we wouldn't have to memorize things like BGP's TCP number anymore, right? We would move less from configuring and designing and maybe more to programming. And there was a lot of pushback against that. I mean, obviously, you know, network automation still isn't where folks would like it to be on a maturity model scale. But what we noticed out of that, though, is we were watching that kind of DevOps community. You know, we were thinking, okay, maybe we have to go that direction. One of the things that we noticed was just the collaboration, the openness that those folks seemed to have. You know, somebody would solve a problem having written a script or a playbook, as an example, maybe, and then they would just post it up on Git, share a link, and hey, grab this, make it your own, feel free to use it. And they also seemed to be very open about collaborating on solving problems, sharing information, and we weren't seeing that in the network engineering community at the time. So we thought, you know, even if we're anti-programmability at the moment, you know, it might take us a little time to come around to that. What could we do in the meantime? And it was, you know, why don't we get network engineers together? Yeah. So the idea, you know, if we could approach it as maybe a think global but act local, where, hey, let's just have a small group of engineers that get together and just talk about some of the problems they're trying to solve, share technology information. You know, I tried this tech and either it worked or, you know, it didn't work. This is what I liked about it. This is what I didn't like about it. So the idea was, you know, let's but just have something in our own backyard to meet our peers. And I think a lot of that was also around, you know, I don't know how many times all three of us travel for work. And you guys have probably experienced this as well. You know, I may travel to the West Coast to attend some conference. Somebody could walk up to a booth, introduce themselves, and lo and behold, it turns out they're a fellow network engineer and they live in the same city as I do. Holy cow, I didn't even know you. And it took, you know, a conference halfway around the country for us to be introduced. So the, I think for us, starting off in Ohio, not yet having the vision of, you know, growing into the USNUA,
right.
The idea of just, hey, let me meet folks that are right here in my own backyard and grow that Rolodex, if you will, of connections here, just geographically close to you.
Yeah, I remember, you know, and I've attended a lot of Cisco Live events, and I've been to NANOG a bunch of times. NANOG's a lot smaller than Cisco Live, but really what I'm trying to say is that a lot of these events are very large, right? And they're often, you know, like one way as far as the, you know, the main speaker to a large audience. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy those things. But I always really enjoyed the hallway conversations, like at a Cisco Live, right? Even those like technical workshops where there'd be like 100 people, even those are a little bit on the large side. And so I always really valued like connecting with folks in the hallway and just talking shop. And so I think that's one of the things that I personally really value about the USNUA events, all the individual NUGs. And I think that's probably, and this is just my opinion, one of the things that differentiates the USNUA events from all the other events out there. I know there are other technical or tech meetups, whatever. There's one in the Capital Region of New York where I live, but it's also very vendor driven. You know what I mean? That's something that I've been to one in the area. I don't mean the USNUA. I mean this other group. I've been to one, and it was just you know, it was vendors giving their pitches, and then everybody having drinks and cocktails and stuff, which is awesome, by the way. I mean, that's cool. But I did notice that flavor of the event. It was very vendor driven. Now, one thing I believe is that, well, I mean, like, I'm a network engineer, or at least I was a network engineer, so I used the technology from those vendors. So I wanted to know that stuff. But I didn't want to have this constant sales pitch. How does the USNUA look at that and handle that? And how does that work with your organization?
And then you bring up a good point that we probably should have mentioned sooner. Oh, these events are vendor neutral in the way that there is no sales pitch. We're not pushing anybody's product or service. There are sponsors that do sponsor the events, and thank you to our sponsors like Kentik for putting down their dollars to help us run these events and get these people together. But when you get to the event, there's no agenda as far as that goes. The aim would be the learning, the networking with others, really that community building. The way the events typically look, so the format that they take is we'll typically have a presentation, hopefully done by someone local in the community. That's what we try to encourage. Sometimes, you know, they're for whatever reason, that doesn't happen. So, you know, Chris or, myself, or even you, Phil, I know you've given some presentations at some of these NUG events as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll pop in and provide, what knowledge we can share with the folks locally, but it's a vendor neutral presentation. So it's about, you know, either open standards, open technologies, trends you need to be aware of in certain segments, cool projects that have happened. Good example. We had a local grocery retailer here in Ohio present on open source routers that they built for all their stores. Most of the time, very fascinating conversation and cool stuff to learn. And then, you know, we have a little mixer. We try to, like you mentioned, the social component of these events is really important. So allowing space for that, we try to, at the beginning, have an open mingle session before the presentation, in between the presentation and a discussion panel that we end the night with. We allow some time there as well. But that discussion panel will try to get people local to the community who work for enterprises or service providers, network practitioners who are out there doing the work every day to talk about the problems they encounter, new technologies that they've worked mm-hmm. with that they like, and where they get their news from, all kinds of great stuff. We like to rotate these list of questions quarterly to keep things fresh, but the local organizers are also welcome to add their own flavor to this. So if they want to incorporate their own questions, things that they think would be relevant to their community, we encourage that. One really important aspect is allowing the local that local group to really create an experience that's all their own.
Oh, totally. I remember being up in Burlington, Vermont, and it was A.J. Murray's group, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, I was on the panel. I wasn't a speaker. I was on a panel for this one. And we're talking about whatever. And, you know, as panelists, you're given the questions. You know what we're going to be talking about. Maybe you do some research. You know, be prepared. And I had like 5 or 8 questions. I think we maybe got through 2. And it was what the folks sitting there, you know, eating pretzel bites and chicken wings or whatever the food was and drinking beers were interested in talking about, because it was very interactive. And so that's what it was. You know, AJ just camped on what folks were interested on, and it was great. I admit it was like largely AI. Now I think AI probably elicits more of an eye roll than anything else, but at the time it was still new enough, that it was great fodder for conversation. But I do recognize that it's very interactive and very fluid. You know, I know that having led a few NUGs myself, and then having also been a speaker or a panelist at NUGs around the country, you know, it's not that we're shooting, you know, by the hip or whatever the phrase is, but it's certainly interactive. There are certainly people with opinions and disagreements, and I think that's really, really important. That there's no vendor pitch per se, and there's no like formality about it. It really is just a bunch of nerds, 30, 40, 50 or more technologists getting together. Now, that's actually something I wanted to mention. I have noticed, and you guys can disagree with me on this, that though the name is USNUA, as in networking, right? Networking user groups, I get all sorts of technologists that show up at the one in New York. We get folks that are systems engineers that are a lot more on the, you know, the DevOps side, but, you know, dabble with networking, that just want to connect with other engineers. I mean, what are your thoughts about that? Is it really purely a networking focused organization?
I'd say, I mean, it starts there. It starts, and to be even more specific, you know, the practitioners, right?
Yeah, right.
So a little less, you know, when you think about who you're going to meet at these events, you know, they're primarily your buddies, your peers, right? The folks that would be in a foxhole of a maintenance window with you, right, for those late night maintenance windows. So maybe a few managers or directors, but for the most part, no C-suite. So it did start very centric to that. And it probably stays around 60 to 70% of the content and the conversations are probably, you know, still come back to networking. Mm-hmm. But we have certainly seen a lot of the adjacent technologies start to creep in. Security is a good example. That becomes a big topic where even, you know, if you're a larger organization, you may have distinct groups and roles for security versus, you know, networking. You know, it could even be the firewalls are configured by the networking team, and security means something entirely different now inside those orgs. But we need to collaborate, right? And I think it's super helpful when networking folks when security folks are there to talk to us, to give us their viewpoint. Because we have our viewpoint. We always feel like we're the caboose of a project. And when you talk to them, you find out, no, actually, it's probably security is the last one thought of in a lot of corporate projects and new application rollouts. So we enjoy them being there. We've had folks come and present on, you know, how to talk budgets within the business. So, you know, if your intent is to build something great, you need money to do that. And we've had folks that have presented, folks that actually were in C-suite roles, present and explain, well, this is often how a budget works. You're going to be fighting with the other teams. It's, you know, giving coaching on how to collaborate with your peers in those other technology silos in your organization to come up with an agreement on how you'll share some of those dollars. We've had some career advice type conversations and presentations as well, right? So it's not just that, you know, we mentioned the three of us have been in the industry for quite some time, but we also see a lot of youth coming in now as well. So for them to get guidance on, you know, how to develop yourself career-wise is an element of it as well. And I think a lot of the AI work that's going on, you know, if you're more on the infrastructure side than the application side of that, we're all having to pay a little more attention to each other. You know, all of a sudden I find myself more aware of storage or more aware of compute or, you know, caring about memory, things that I had not focused on before, right? And I think that's all creeping in to these. And it's welcome creep, right? It's a good thing to have that kind of mashup.
So, Chris, let me direct this one to you. Let's say that I go to the usnua.com website, I go to groups and events or whatever the menu is, right? And I find an event near me, right? Whether it's a brand new one or it's been, you know, going on for months and years. What can I expect if I am new to an event and I just am attending for the first time?
Yeah, a big old welcome, and we'll put you in front of everybody and try to embarrass you.
And free beer.
No. So generally speaking, I'd say we loosely have an agenda that most events follow. Usually we'll have a start time, right? Recommend people, hey, show up around, let's just call that 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. We usually allow for a little mingle time. So the idea is, hey, grab a beer, grab some of that food, and then go meet with, you know, new folks in the area. Or you may be reconnecting with coworkers you haven't seen in years. That's happened to me on more than one occasion. Just bumping into somebody there at the event. So ideally you'll say hello and sit down, take a seat, and then the MC, the person leading the event, is usually the local event group leader or leaders, and they'll do an introduction. Certainly a thank you to our sponsors. None of this would be possible without help from our sponsors. And then oftentimes we'll have like one presenter. Where they'll talk about a topic, maybe 45 minutes or 60 minutes. Those topics, like recent examples, could be them explaining their automation journey inside their organization. Right. Yep. Or hey, they were new to EVPN VXLAN, they rolled it out, and this was, you know, XYZ experience that they had. So they'll talk about an hour, and then usually we like to take a break, refill those beers, and then usually set up for a panel. So mentioning the Q&A panel and the idea of, we like to put three or four of your peers in front of the room with the MC person asking some questions. And if we veer off of that question list, you know, that's fantastic. That means we have, you know, a lot of interaction and conversation happening, not only with the panelist and the MC person, but with the attendees in the crowd. So talking about a topic, share your opinion or your experiences, steer it in a completely different direction, whatever you want to do there. But, the idea is, overall, whether you're a presenter, whether you're a panelist, or you're just an attendee, that the idea is that this is a platform now, right, where you can share your opinions with one another. For people that are honing their presentation skills, this is a platform for which they could present at. So, like, to go back to your example, Cisco Live, you know, bully for you if you get a speaking slot there, but you may not be used to working a room of 500 people. So with the nature of our small groups, I think it's a safer place for some folks to hone their presentation skills or panelist time. So, and then you usually wrap up a little bit of mingle afterwards. So you're probably talking about like a 3 or 4 hour type time frame that you would come and hang out, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the week.
How many people normally, I mean, I'm sure it varies based on the time of year and the particular location, but if you were to give me a number or a range, how many people show up to these NUG meetups?
I'd say probably on average, it's probably around 30 or 35 are typically there. We have some groups that run regularly at 50. You know, some of our mature groups, you know, earlier when you're asking about which one's the best group, you know, I was thinking about not only the origin story of the Ohio NUG, but thinking, you know, Indiana's NUG has done very well, typically has over 50 people in attendance there, a great run rate. The one up in Connecticut, similarly, you know, 50 or 60 people regularly there. And then Nebraska, I mean, my gosh, you know, Isaac and Tim running the Nebraska NUG, and they're regularly like 75 or 80 people.
That's
to
great.
The point, right? Yeah. Where like they're kind of busting out the walls there to accommodate everybody. Occasionally it could get over 100. It doesn't happen too often. I'd say up in Jason's neck of the woods, when we do the Cleveland event around Halloween every year, you know, it's our longest running event, and that probably has a lot to do with the amount of people there. But more than once, we've had a wait list because we've exceeded over 100 people.
Yeah. I know there is a dynamic, and there are a lot of different factors that play into that. You know, I grew up in the New York City area, was just down in the New York NUG, the New York City NUG, rather. And, you know, that's a different dynamic than Nebraska, for example. I know that folks at the end of the workday are like, I got to catch a train, you know, I got to catch the Long Island Railroad or the PATH or whatever. I'm not sticking around. So there are different dynamics for NUGs. And what I've found is that the folks that show up, they're really interested. Like, they have made an effort to be there. Yes, the food and the drink is free, so there is an incentive for sure. But I really don't think that's that. Yes, it's an incentive, but I don't think that's the most compelling reason people show up. I mean, I have led enough of these now and been to enough of these where the comments and the feedback that I get after the fact are largely about, I can't believe I met so-and-so. I haven't seen them in 10 years, just like you said, Chris, right? I think, I don't know who it was. I think it was Jason who said, like, we'll share a beer. I'm not sharing my beer with anybody, first of all. But I do know what you meant. Like, that is a compelling reason to go. It's an enjoyable time to hang out. But, man, the connections that you make that, you know, in your area and the folks that are coming in from outside your area, it's just phenomenal. So, Jason, let me direct this one to you. Let's say I show up to an event and I connect with some people that I haven't connected with in a long time. How do I stay in communication with folks that I meet at an event?
Great question. The best way, we have a Slack group that our community communicates in, and that, you know, you have that we have a number of channels in there, not just the local chapters themselves. They have their own individual channels, but there's fun other ones like there's a beer channel, there's a books channel. Chris is pretty active sharing the newest thing he's read there. Mm-hmm. And a number of other sub-channels in there to talk about, you know, more specific things. But that's a great place to interact with your peers, you know, after an event. And even, you know, communicate with other chapters, so other USNUA members all across the country. They're all kind of represented in there. There's a number of resources on our page too to follow up on information. So, you know, we do have a member section of the USNUA site where you can find other resources like some of the slide presentations that have been displayed at the events. You can also find recordings of the events. I know in one of the PA NUGs in Philly, they made a podcast recording of the panel discussion at their event. So,
awesome. I listened to that.
Yeah, so you can find that recording in the member section. There's some other videos and resources, and we're going to be building up the content in that section. So good place to follow up there. And then I would also encourage, you know, once you become a member, I really would encourage the membership, even if you're not interested in the resources in there, though they are cool, and I would hope most people would be interested. But if you sign up and you put your email address in, we're going to send you updates about the upcoming events in your area, which is right now our primary means to reach out to the community and let them know, hey, if you're interested in Pennsylvania NUG or Ohio or Indiana, et cetera, we can send those updates. And you can sign up for as many as you want. So if you want to bounce around and go to multiple, have at it. The more the merrier. These events are all free, and we welcome as many people who are willing to show up.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting to me is that, like, you know, as much as I love the big events, and there are so many of these small events, and we'll get into this in a little bit. There are so many of these local nugs now that I can, like, go to one after another if I wanted to, right? And still meet the same number of people anyway. Like, I live in the Northeast, so of course I go to the one that I lead. And then I go to the ones in New England, like in Vermont and Massachusetts, outside of Boston, down in Connecticut, you mentioned, down in PA, Philadelphia. That's an awesome one. So I go to all those as well, just because they're driving distance. I don't think you guys know this, Chris and Jason. Maybe you do, actually. I don't know. My daughter is 18 years old. She's a senior in high school, and she's kind of thinking through what she's going to do next year. She's going to community college and then off to, 4 year after that, or, you know, the last two of her 4 year. And she's thinking about, seriously thinking about computer science. She's already done an internship for somebody in the USNUA community, which is awesome. And she's been to a few events with me, like where I'm like, it's the middle of the summer, right? So I'm not talking about during the school year. I'm not taking her out of classes. But like we went to the Philadelphia event. We went to the Connecticut event. I was speaking at one of them. The other one I was just showing up to, you know, show my support. And she came with me. And my daughter, who's only 18 years old, made connections that led to like paying internships and a growing knowledge and interest in this field. It's phenomenal. And she's not necessarily somebody who we'd think is like the primary target. Like we're trying to talk to other network engineers and other technologists and all that stuff. But Chris, you did mention students in the area. And I happen to know that that is an initiative as well. I've been to events where somebody there is like a professor or a teacher in a local community college or a four-year college, whatever. And they advertise it to their students. Say, hey, this is an opportunity to network. Come on down, and you see a bunch of, you know, younger people. It's just phenomenal. I love it. So, you know, I kind of alluded to the opportunity because there are a lot of chapters. How many chapters are there now? Jason, I think you mentioned it, but I don't remember now.
Yeah, we're up to 32.
Up to 32, and that's nationwide, like coast to coast?
Correct, correct. Yeah, we're you know, most of our chapters are regionally, you know, in the Northeast, just kind of by the nature of how we got started and our connections. And but we are starting to spread, you know, westward. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're working on scheduling a California event here soon. You know, watch for more about that. Again, I encourage folks to sign up to get updates about ones that are popping up in their region. We actually just added a section before. We only had up there the chapters that existed, but now we have a capability to basically select, you know, I think we have this ready. If not, it's coming soon, where you can select any one of the 50 states and we'll update you when a new chapter launches in your region.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and part of that growth has been moving down to the state, down to the city level, right? So, like, we had started in Ohio, mm-hmm. and our approach there was we thought we'd rotate cities every quarter. So, you know, we'd do Cleveland one quarter, Columbus another quarter, Cincinnati, right? And as it grew, and we started adding more states, we realized that you know, people would like to get together more frequently than just once a quarter out of the year. And so with that demand there now for a lot of cities, we've taken them to have their own NUG. So you have like the Ohio Cincinnati edition, right, or chapter, and you have the Ohio Columbus chapter. Mm-hmm. You know, we learned those lessons. Certainly with anybody listening that's in Texas, you know, would tell you, hey, I'm not traveling from one side of Dallas to the other.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know, Texas, we had started pretty quickly with having distinct groups, and we've had some various groups down there pop up, whether it's Dallas or San Antonio or Austin or Houston.
Yeah.
Some of that growth has been an increase in frequency because we've taken it down to like a city level that does it maybe every other quarter.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do remember in the days like 2 years ago when it was just state level. Yeah. And I approached you guys and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do something in New York. And you're like, yeah, New York City. I'm like, no. New York City and like the capital region or upstate or Rochester, that's a different country. We are not New York City and we're not driving there for that matter. And you guys were amenable to that. And you're like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, it's a different culture. It's a different microcosm of folks that are working in technology. So, for example, in the capital region where I live, that's the Albany, Schenectady, Troy area, right? The Tri-City area. Huge amount of government workers. We have large fabs like Global Foundries and IBM and Tokyo Electron, all those kind of companies. It's very different. Like, there's no financial here like it is in New York City. So it's just a different environment. And you guys were like readily available, not readily available, like amenable to like thinking through that and saying, you know what, that's right. And so here in New York, we have one in Western New York. I don't lead that one, but I've been to them. So that's in, it's bouncing back and forth between Rochester and Buffalo. We have one here in the Capital Region, which we hold in Saratoga Springs. And then there's one now in New York City, which is phenomenal. I was just at that one. It was actually right in way down in the financial district, building 4 of the World Trade Center. Just phenomenal location, and it was a great event. And you know, I really think that's one of the power that is a great superpower of the USNUA is being very local. Yet at the same time, it's like dichotomous, right? At the same time, I'm connecting with people all over the country as well. Because there's people coming in, I'm going to other ones. You know, we work in technology. I mean, I'm on Slack all day. I'm on Zoom. I'm talking to you guys over this technology right now. So let's say that I lived in an area. Like, I went on to the USNUA. I clicked on the thing, and I saw, oh, there's nothing in my area. What would it take for me to start a new chapter of the USNUA?
Well, we make it pretty easy. Right on the website, we have at the top of the page, there's groups and events. And if you click on that underneath that heading, there is start a new group. And so what that would do is you'd fill out a form, it sends it to our group, and then we'd review that request with you. We're growing and we're adding chapters. So if anybody's of interest, you know, obviously reach out. I think we're onboarding a few chapters right now, so it might take us a little bit to get started. Okay. So we can only take on so many new groups as far as getting them enabled. So when group organizers come to us, we have to figure out they'll have to get a kind of their peer that to help them. So we like to have a minimum of 2 organizers in a region, just in case someone decides it's not for them anymore. We don't lose the momentum we've built and can keep going. That takes a little bit of time to get them onboarded, get them to understand how everything works. Now, the great thing is we have awesome event coordinators that handle that. So they will work with those local folks to understand how the process works, get them in touch with the event venue, which, by the way, we do all the coordination and
I was gonna ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we collect all the sponsorship money and pull that together and then take care of coordination with the event. We can help them select the food, figure out the drink ticket situation based on the venue, make recommendations to them about how the venue flow should be. Mm-hmm. So, we've had some early events where it was a very noisy environment, like in a loft, for example, and you couldn't even hear the speakers because of just how that was laid out. So we have a good set of guidelines for selection of an event space, things like, knowing how much parking they have and things like I mentioned, AV considerations, that sort of thing. But our event coordinators handle that. And so there is a little bit of an enablement period to get ramped up. And then we may have to, space things out depending on how many events we're working with at one time, but we manage that back end process and make it as easy as we can for the local coordinator, for the local event crew to put together their event.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, for me personally, I just send off a note to your various folks that work internally, and I'm like, can you take care of this? And they take care of it. Because I do have a day job. And so I want to run a local event. I want to connect with my peers and all that stuff. That's all great, but I don't want another job. And so it really is helpful to have that support on the back end. I remember just recently, it wasn't really that recently, it was 4 or 5 months ago. I was at AutoCon 2 by the Network Automation Forum, right? And I remember you guys did a really cool, I remember because I was the stinking MC for the debate. But that was a really fun event where it was the USNUA in partnership with the Network Automation Forum. So I want to know a little bit about the relationships that you have with other organizations. Now, you know, we talked about like there's Cisco Live, there's AWS reInvent, there's all these like gigantic, you know, things that are going on. What relationships do you have with those smaller, more community-driven organizations?
Yeah, a huge shout out to the work that Scott Robon and Chris Grunderman do with the Network Automation Forum and their AutoCon events. Yeah, we've collaborated with them. You know, whether you call that like a media partner or maybe you know a bit of a technology partner relationship that we have with each other, where we try to help each other with the events, provide content, and we even share. You know, each of us having a platform. We try to share information about, hey, I just saw this great presentation by Mike in Kansas City. You know, he's wonderful. You guys really ought to reach out to him and engage him in some of your projects. Similarly, beyond the Network Automation Forum, we've also partnered with Ethan and Drew, and we've done a bit of a mashup with Packet Pushers.
Okay.
We've helped each other. I think that's how AJ came about too, right? When he was involved with the Arda Network Engineering podcast.
Oh, nice. Okay.
In Vermont. So it's interesting as we work with these folks, you know, generally are very outgoing, right? Gregarious. And, you know, AJ running that podcast and then ultimately he had helped to start the Vermont NUG. Working with Scott Robon and the NAF, and then Scott became a group leader for a Virginia NUG. And Ethan, similarly, you know, of Packet Pushers, starting to work with him, and then ultimately he is now one of the group leaders for New Hampshire NUG. And so a lot of us, we have similar cultures. Between our organizations and, you know, are looking to build communities. Even across lines in networking, you know, when you think of the NOGs, right, the network operators groups, that a lot of times that's really more Jason than it's me, right? An operator, not fully, but a lot of times that's more service provider focused content, or it can be.
Oh, totally.
Not all those technologies are applicable to an enterprise engineer, but there is some overlap. And so with the NOGs, we've also had a lot of conversations, ChiNOG, I think we talked to the folks up in Seattle as well as out in New York, because there's some community sharing that we can do there. I don't know, Jason, did I overlook any other groups that we hang out with?
You know, you mentioned the Art of Network Engineering, the PA event, Andy Laptev from Art of Network Engineering. Yeah, so that podcast panel we talked about a little bit ago, you know, featured Ned Bellavance from the Packet Pushers community, had Andy Laptev from Art of Network Engineering and Andrew Connery Murray from Packet Pushers. So, we've got a lot of collaboration and cross-pollination across these groups. NANOG's another group I can think of that you're in conversations with and want to work really, really closely with. We really feel like, you know, we align. And I think NANOG, kind of to Chris's point, they've traditionally been, servicing the service provider community. And I think they're looking to expand that, you know, have more of an enterprise presence for their shows. So, have more tracks and more, learning and other things. So we've been collaborating with them on ways we can help each other right now. We do a little bit of cross marketing for one another, but we're also looking at ways where perhaps we can collaborate on an event. At an NANOG event.
And I forgot to mention, you know, we were talking about technology adjacencies bleeding in, right, and security. And another example of a group we've collaborated with is the Western Michigan Cloud Security Alliance, right? So a group of people that at their events, they usually have 30 or 40 people there to talk strictly security. And we've done a couple mashup events with them now where we split the event, the agenda, half of the time spent on the networking side and half of it on security topics. And then, you know, whatever we can do to get more beer in them and have some real nerd nights.
To get more beer in them. Okay.
It leads to the, you know, my routing protocol is better than your routing protocol type conversations, right, which we love to see.
Yeah, we really do. And it's, one of the things is that I appreciate that it's just, practitioners. Now, you mentioned earlier that there's very few C-level, and that's something that I've noticed. But I will say, and I'm sorry to disagree with you a little bit, maybe this is just at the upstate New York NUG, but I have noticed a little bit of a spectrum of folks attending, whether they're systems people, maybe more application focused. There's folks that are just completely like automation, traditional network engineers, both enterprise and service provider, folks that are like, you know, I just manage our Azure environment, but I heard about this group and I wanted to show up and I heard you had free beer. So I do notice different technologists. And as far as areas, I have probably noticed everywhere from definitely like help desk. Well, no, let's go below help desk. Let's talk about like students, but from like working professionals, help desk all the way up to like the VP level. That's who I've seen at the upstate New York NUGs. And then of course, at some of the ones that I've been to. So there actually is a little bit of a spectrum of who shows up and who you can connect with. And everybody is just drinking a beer or, you know, sometimes a non-alcoholic drink or whatever and having some food. And there's no pretense, which I love, by the way. You know, that's an important thing to me. From a personal perspective, I can't stand that. So I love when the management jargon is dropped. Nobody's saying things like leverage or like boil the ocean. It's just normal. Like, we're just talking about technology and how we can fix things. And that's what it is. So let's say I want to find out more. Where do I go? How do I become a member? How do I get updates? I hope I'm not just going to get spammed with emails, right, Jason? I hope. And where can I follow you online if I'm a social media user?
Yeah, sure. So usnua.com is the best place to start for becoming a member and finding out more information about what events are upcoming and, you know, how to sign up for those. Like, for example, you know, in early March here, Florida's got a Tampa event coming up. Indiana's March 13th, they've got an event. So you can go straight to the homepage, scroll down midway and see all the events that are upcoming. If you'd like to become a member, you go to the top. There's a section called membership. You select become a member underneath that, and that'll get you underway as far as getting access to our content library and Great. Also getting emails and updates from us. We do not spam you. There is an opt-in if you would like to get more information from our partners, but that's unchecked by default. If you want to do that, that's cool. Like, we will be happy to share that information from our sponsors that they might have for you, but you don't have to. As far as getting engaged with the rest of the community, definitely join our Slack. So I think it's just if you go to usnua.slack.com, you should be able to get a sign up going there. If you can't, you can reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn and Blue Sky and elsewhere. Feel free to find me. That's where you can find more as far as social networking. Please follow us on LinkedIn. Follow us on X, on Blue Sky if you're there. So we're on those three social services. We do post a lot of news about upcoming events. So when a new event's launched, we'll let the world know via social media, in addition to the email we send to members. As far as engagement after the event and keeping things rolling, Slack's a good place for that.
Yeah. There's two things I'd like to add, if it's okay. The first is there's almost 1,000 people in that Slack. This is not a trivial thing, like where there's like 12 people all, you know, putzing around about some technology no one cares about. There's almost 1,000 people in there talking about like cutting edge technology, problems that they're trying to solve. Hey, what do you think about this automation frame? Whatever, you know, all sorts of things, right? Join the Slack. That is so impactful, in my opinion, especially with the changing nature of social media, right? Folks kind of like, not sure what they're doing with Twitter right now, and like, is Blue Sky real, and all that kind of stuff. So the Slack channel is phenomenal. The other thing I wanted to mention, and this is just my personal opinion, right? I struggle with keeping up with everything that's going on in technology. I feel like that could be my full-time job with all the blog posts and podcasts and news briefs and press releases and all the things that I get, because I want to stay, you know, current, right? The USNUA events, your local NUG event, is an awesome way to do that. It's part of an entire strategy. I'm not going to lie and say that that's like the only thing you need, right? It is part of an entire strategy, but it is an important part of it because you're going to connect with folks that are deploying technologies that are on the cutting edge or at least thinking and talking about it. So again, it's something that I've struggled with, and I have found that the USNUA is a great addition to that solution.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. I mean, ultimately, that's the goal, right? Get connected, make those connections, not only for, you know, employment possibilities, right? But also for keeping up on the industry. Because, I mean, we certainly recognize, you know, trying to keep up, even if you just focus on, like, security vulnerabilities, if you're just trying to operate things, right, and keep up with, you know, if you're in a multi-vendor environment, that can be the full-time job. It's just keeping up with those right. notifications and scheduling the change controls and maintenance windows to execute those patches and upgrades. So I like that, you know, ideally we're curating information and bringing it to this group to share. And you can do it based off of what you're most interested in, because undoubtedly somebody else will be. And that other person can't find the time to keep up with what, you know, is nearest and dearest to you. So yeah. Super helpful right. to share.
Absolutely. Well, before I close out, do either of you gentlemen have any closing thoughts or any closing comments that you'd like to make?
I have one. I just want to give a shout out to our event coordinators. I mean, Jason and I can oftentimes come across as the face of the USNUA because we're physically at so many of the events. But behind the scenes, there's a ton of work, as Jason mentioned, you know, working with the sponsors, working with the venues. You'd be surprised how many caterers just leave you wanting, and it can be 17 phone calls to make sure you're getting that food and beer. So a huge shout out to the work that Kayla and Jess and Kate do for all of us to make sure these events come off without a hitch.
Fantastic. Thank you. So on that note, we are going to end today's show, and I encourage you to check out the USNUA's website, usnua.com. You can click on groups and events and find an event that's coming near you. And of course, if there isn't one in your area, consider starting one for yourself. And of course, join the USNUA Slack, a fantastic place to connect with your peers. So for now, thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.